Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kofola's 2020 third quarter results conference call. You will now hear a recording of a summary of the group's results presented by Group CEO, Yannis Samaras, and Group CFO, Martin Pisklák. This will be followed by business insights presented by Czechoslovakia CEO, Daniel Buryš.
Dear investors, we finished third quarter of 2020, and we can proudly say that EBITDA in third quarter was the highest in the Kofola Group history. We are very satisfied with the strength of our traditional brands and our customers' loyalty. Also, both Ondrášovka and Karlovarská Koruní, our important acquisitions, make me happy. Their integration is smooth and performance even above our expectations. There are also bad news. Currently, we all have to face second lockdown and its consequences on our personal lives and businesses. Mainly, HoReCa segment is reporting huge losses. However, due to strong summer season, our EBITDA target for 2020 remain above 950 million Czech crowns. Utilizing lessons learned in the current year, we are intensively preparing for the upcoming year. We believe in our ability to produce even better results. Last but not least, I would like to thank all our customers, suppliers, employees, and other important parties who are helping us overcome these difficult times. Thank you. I am now handing you over to Martin and Daniel, who will comment on our business results in greater detail.
Good afternoon, dear investors. My name is Martin Pisklák, and I am Group CFO. Yesterday, Kofola Group published financial results for the third quarter. I am happy to announce that we were successful, not only in the financial numbers, but also in business innovations. We managed to launch new Italian coffee brand named Trepalini, and also we enlarge our rPET portfolio with Radenská Naturel 0.5L in a fully rPET PET bottle, which was also significantly lightweighted. Our key financial indicators were improving. We increased our revenues by 11.6%, and we managed to increase our EBITDA to 557 million, which means increase by 27.8% compared to third quarter in 2019. This extraordinary growth was attributable mainly to our Czechoslovakia business, which was extraordinarily successful in 3Q 2020. On the other hand, our revenues in Adriatic region decreased by 6.7%. This was mainly attributable to lack of tourists in Croatia during the main season. Due to this fact, our EBITDA in Adriatic region decreased by 15 million. We see negative trends also in our fresh and herbs division. Decrease of this division is driven mainly by weaker UGO performance. In third quarter, revenues of fresh and herbs division decreased by 11.6%, and the EBITDA remained almost flat, however, still negative, -5 million. Year-to-date results are also positive. Our revenues are practically flat in first nine months of 2020, and this is mainly to very good third quarter and our acquisitions, Ondrášovka and Koruní. EBITDA for the first nine months totaled 906 million, which represents increase by 46 million compared to first nine months in 2019. We are also keeping healthy balance sheet. Our trade receivables are still in very good quality. We improved a lot in cash flow management. In the end of September, we did not utilize our overdraft credit facilities, and we are also benefiting from the fact that the interest rates decreased very significantly in 2020. However, fourth quarter is slightly different story. Our UGO outlets are closed, and the HoReCa segment is reporting huge losses. We expect that autumn lockdown will be more negative compared to the spring one. We expect that HoReCa segment will be significantly limited at least till the year end. However, due to strong third quarter, we are still keeping our EBITDA forecast between 950 million Czech crowns to 1 billion of Czech crowns. Worth of mentioning is also the fact that the general meeting of Kofola Group approved the annual dividends on the level of 13.5 Czech crowns per share. This dividend will be paid off in the beginning of December. Thank you very much for your attention.
Good morning, investors. Here is Daniel speaking. I'm responsible for Kofola, Czech and Slovak soft drink business. I think Yannis summarized main trends in 2020, so let me briefly comment Q3 success and Q4 expectation. Q3. Retail on expectations, including post-merger of Ondrášovka and Koruny. We grew 30% and excluding of acquisition 9%. We are very surprised of successful launch of Kláštor na Akácia on to very competitive Czech market. We tripled sales of this brand year to date. Key role in top season played HoReCa segment. Market unfortunately dropped for 8% in Czech Republic and 20% in Slovakia. But we were able grew not far from 10%. For example, our HoReCa market share in cola category in Slovakia is unbelievable 60%. Key factors of success. Maximum focus on drought Kofola, flexible change of trade marketing strategy from big events, festivals, to direct outlet support, camps, Kofokino, season outlets. And of course, we are not so dependent on foreign tourist destinations like Prague. But Q3 is history. Now, HoReCa is locked down again. From my point of view, it's a positive fact that more than 30% outlets are open for takeaway. Soft drink sales are, of course, close to zero, but it shows that HoReCa as a segment could survive. We expect reopening next week in Czech Republic. In Slovakia, the situation is more complicated. We, of course, fully focus on retail Christmas season. HoReCa team fully supports retail. Q4 lockdown impact will be similar as spring. But for HoReCa as a segment, the situation is now more complicated because after spring lockdown, they entered to top season. Now they will open their outlets to lowest season, which is for many of them unprofitable. We expect more outlets closing. It could reach level between 15 and 20%. We have to be ready for negative market development in first half 2021. Thank you for your intention, and I believe that Kofola confirmed in bad times that our business model is efficient and flexible. See you next time. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for your questions. If you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon on your participant panel. If you have no further questions, click on the same icon once again. We have a first question from Mr. Pavel Ryska. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. First of all, thank you for the presentation and congratulations on a very good third quarter result. My question is directed at the comparison between the current quarter, the fourth quarter, and the spring situation. So you said that you think this is going to be more difficult for you than in the spring. A connected thing is that I was, to be honest, a little surprised by the guidance. I thought that after the relatively strong third quarter, the guidance could be raised because the difference between EBITDA for the first 9 months of the year and your goal, your current guidance, is quite small. So it seems to me that this implies that the fourth quarter should be very weak. So if you could comment on the expected drop in the main categories in the fourth quarter and why you think that even the strong Christmas season is not going to compensate for the losses in October and November. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. We really believe that the second lockdown will be much more difficult for us compared to the first one. As already Daniel Buriš said, there are several like differences in between of these two lockdowns. First one is that the first lockdown was followed by the main season. The second lockdown should be followed by the biggest off-season, which we have during the year. We are also talking to restaurant owners, and in the spring, basically some 10% of the restaurants were expected to be closed after the lockdown. Now, during the second lockdown, the number increased from 15 to 20% of the restaurants. And that's why we believe that these are the main drivers for our very conservative estimation for the last quarter. The truth is that during the first lockdown, we calculated the COVID impact to approximately 100 million of Czech crowns. Now we are calculating the COVID impact to almost 200 million of Czech crowns, because in 2019, the last quarter, EBITDA in the last quarter totaled some 250 million of Czech crowns. Now we expected EBITDA in between of 50 and 100 million of Czech crowns.
Yeah, thank you. So if I can have one or two follow-ups. It makes sense what you are saying, this logic with the high season and the off season. Still, I was thinking that maybe the retail sales around Christmas are strong enough for you to compensate for the weak Horeca in the winter. And second question touches more the next year. What is your input prices outlook for next year? As usual, the prices of sugar, the pet raising and other prices, what do you think? Is it going to be pretty much the same as this year, or do you think there will be some big changes in some of your main inputs? Thank you very much. That would be all.
So first part of your question regarding the retail sales, our retail sales, especially in December, are traditionally very high and very strong. So we do not count on some extraordinary sales through the retail channel in December, as we have usually very strong these sales already. And regarding the second questions on the input prices, at the moment we are finishing the negotiations and monitoring very closely the situation for the next year. It seems that our two major commodities will increase the price. I mean, sugar and PET. The prices will increase by some 10 to 15% at the moment for next year.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon on your participant panel. We have next question from Mr. Jan Raška. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I have one question on Klaster now water. It seems that this brand has a good performance in the Czechoslovakia market. So can you tell us what revenues do you expect from Klaster now this year? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. This year we expect the revenues from the Klaštorna around 100 million of Czech crowns on the Czechoslovak market.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Now we have a question from Mr. Josef Karasek. Please go ahead.
Congratulations to very strong results for Q3 versus the previous year. And I'm interested to understand better what contributed to your strong growth versus previous year. What were the drivers or contributors on revenue, profit, and margin? Thank you.
Thank you very much for this question. In general, the biggest contributor in the third quarter was our business in Czechoslovakia, so the traditional beverages brands like Kofola, Vinea, Riot, and Syrups. We saw the huge trend in local consumption during the summer, mainly because people were not traveling abroad. They spent their holidays at home, and we have very loyal customers and consumers. So basically, people spend their holidays in Czech Republic and Slovakia. They were drinking Kofola, and that's why we are able to report such a very nice result.
I have still follow-up questions, because from your presentation, what I read that, you know, your growth came from Czechoslovakia largely. It came largely from acquisitions, your growth on revenue, which I assume is Ondrášovka and Koruní, and it came from retail channel. In retail channel, your growth was about 60%. Is that correct understanding? And could you describe what happened in that retail channel? Was it due to the acquisitions and the availability, or what happened there?
Well, I'm not sure which numbers are you now commenting, but our retail channel for sure did not grow by 60% in the third quarter. The truth is that the growth was partly driven by our acquisition of Ondrášovka and Koruní. If I should make an approximation, so if we grew up by some 12% on the revenues level in Czechoslovakia, then let's say that 9% of this growth was attributable to new sales from Ondrášovka and Koruní, and the remaining 3% was the growth of our brands which were in the portfolio already in previous year.
Okay, thank you. And the last one is, how much of that is recurring growth that will continue, or is it one-off? From those drivers, mainly the 9% you described.
Well, the 9% was the contribution to sales from Ondrášovka and Koruní. The numbers which you are presenting in the presentations are like without one-offs and are recurring, so we are presenting just continuing operations.
So you would expect that those trends shall continue?
Yes, for sure. In next two quarters or three quarters, two quarters, this will be the fact. The numbers will be fully comparable. So the effect of the new portfolio members on Ondrášovka and Koruní will disappear in the presentation in the second quarter of 2021.
Okay, thank you.
And next question is from Mr. Peter Bartek. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello. Also, congratulations to the great results. Particularly, I would ask more to the cost side. If I understood correctly, you expect per bottles to go up by 10 to 15%, and this applies also to sugar or sweeteners?
Yes.
Sweeteners as a whole category or only sugar?
Only sugar. The other sweeteners are more or less stable.
So it might be not 10-15, but in a single digits, for the category.
It will be still double digit because sugar is majority of our sweeteners.
Okay. And I saw in Q3 that your SG&A costs were basically flat year on year, which is good because this is including Ondrášovka, but still it's a some increase compared to the second quarter. So I wonder how much of your cost cutting exercise from April is sustainable for 2021. What's your outlook for SG&A costs? If you will increase them or keep it stable?
The cost cutting is for sure sustainable. To be honest, I did not recognize any like significant trend in increase of G&A because we really did a lot of cuts in the G&A. If I look to the numbers backwards now, so most probably the answer would be that there was just like a different timing of the cost. If I look on our prediction of the G&A cost for the full year 2020, our G&A should decrease for sure, and we should keep this trend also in 2021.
So it was probably because of the logistics, the increase in Q3.
Most probably this would be just the timing, like difference compared to different years.
And for the next year, budget basically flat administrative costs.
We are like pushing for decrease to be more effective, but the flat is the like worst case scenario for us. We would like to decrease it.
Mm-hmm. And if you can elaborate a little bit about your views, I know that's difficult this time, but what is your view on the Horeca segment for the next year? Because you, for example, in Q3, you said that basically coronavirus was negative, minus 15 million, but in the Horeca segment, or not in the Horeca segment, but in the Czechoslovak region, it was actually positive on the net basis, I would say. So what's your expectation for the Horeca segment for the next year and also for the retail segment for the next year?
Mm-hmm. Well, at the moment, we expect that the Horeca segment will be closed till the year end. If the Horeca segment will be open in December, so the opening will be with very significant limitations on the operation of the restaurants. So at the moment we're really counting with the lockdown, and then we are counting that there should be some limitation basically till the June 2021 in Horeca. If we are like looking on the predictions of the COVID situation, our current feeling is that Horeca will be open in the first half of the next year, but with some limitations. The question is how big these limitations should be, if this will be only in the opening hours or also like the number of the guests in the restaurants. So that's the most like a tricky question in the model, because we do not have clarity on this topic. So basically, we are expecting rather like conservative scenarios with the bigger limitations, and we will be like working with this scenario also in the first half of 2021.
You said that you expect that some 15 to 20% of restaurants would go out of business, right?
Yes, right.
So you expect that the consumption will move to the remaining ones, or there will be a impact because of the number of restaurants?
It's hard to predict. For sure, part of the consumption will move to other restaurants, but also for sure, part of the consumption will disappear.
Do you plan any restructuring in the Ugo chain or some optimization measures? And also, what are you going to do with Croatia? Do you have any strategic outlook there?
I will start with Croatia. In Croatia, we did a lot in the past years, and we believe that once the consumption in Croatia will return to some standard levels, we will be profitable in Croatia. There's no question in this. We moved to our production plant in Lipik, a very significant part of the CSD productions for Adriatic region. So also the production effectivity in the Lipik plant will increase very significantly in next year. We, for example, started to produce Pepsi in Studenac, which was previously produced only in our production plant in Slovenia, in Radenci. So now we have much bigger flexibility in planning of the shifts and managing the production cost in the Adriatic region, and this should for sure bring the profits in upcoming years. Regarding to Ugo, Ugo experienced a very hard year in 2020. Basically, it seems that almost 6 months of this year, Ugo outlets are closed because of the pandemic situation, and we are working on some new models which should be applicable for the Ugo chain, not to be so much dependent on the traditional outlets as it is today. For example, we are investing quite a lot of time to some platforms like home deliveries, office deliveries, and so on. So Ugo, the truth is Ugo, it's in a big pressure also in our internal planning. But we should be able to come with some like reasonable positive numbers in next year.
So are you going to reduce the number of bars?
Yeah, to be honest, that's possible, but I cannot comment on the precise number at the moment.
So if I understand correctly, you're targeting say something like Black Zero in Ugo.
For next year?
Yeah.
For this year. For next year, we would like to be in the positive numbers, for sure. But the truth is that the numbers will be not, let's say, on the higher tens of millions of Czech crowns, rather lower tens of millions of Czech crowns.
Okay. In the retail segment, can you see any pricing pressure so far, or you expect some pricing pressure in the next year coming from, consumer wallets or from lower input materials? You had a very big decrease in price of materials this year, so are you going to pass it on to customers, or how does it look like?
I do not have such an information at the moment. Also, my colleagues didn't indicate such an information to me.
You mean from your company or from the market? Or?
From my company, CEOs of the divisions.
And can you see any indications in the market how the pricing situation looks like?
At the moment, I would say that the market is working in very standard way. There are no any price wars or something like this. So I would say that the situation is very standard.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have an additional question from Mr. Pavel Ryska. Please go ahead.
Thank you for once again taking my question. After the discussion about cost, so I would just like to sum it up if I'm right. So because you expect some of the important costs such as the sweeteners and the plastic to be more costly next year, but you carried out some reductions in SG&A costs this year. So would it be fair to say or expect that next year should see somewhat higher costs overall? I'm now talking about operating costs, not costs on the financial level, but operating costs. And the very final question, do you still expect your net leverage to be somewhere between 3.5 and 4 at the end of the year? Thank you.
Yeah, I will start from the end. Yes, at the end of the year, our leverage level should be like in between 3.5 to 4. With the current expectations, we will be much more closer to 4. And regarding the first part of your question, I'm not sure if I understood it correctly. So you were asking that the price of sweeteners and PET is increasing. On the other hand, we have some cost reduction in the general administration. So what would be the overall effect on our operating cost? Was it a question?
Yes, exactly. If you take all the operating costs together, if they are going to be up next year or down compared to this year?
At the moment, I would say I do not have a precise number in this way in front of me, so I would not be answering this question at the moment.
Okay, thanks.
We have an additional question from Mr. Josef Karasek. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I have two questions in terms of expansion of your additions to the portfolio, the acquisitions you've done. Given the success of your water in retail, as far as I understand it, what are your plans with the new water brands to expand into HoReCa? That's number one. And the second question is, how do you measure your success with a coffee business? I mean, how much would you anticipate that it would contribute to your incremental growth or to your revenue growth for next year or couple of next years? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Ondrášovka and Koruní. Already in 2020, we started with the expansion of Koruní brand to HoReCa segment. We launched a glass bottle to HoReCa segment, and this launch was quite successful. We were satisfied with the numbers during the summer, so we are continuing in this activity, and Koruní should be our local mineral water for the HoReCa market. Regarding the coffee business, we are still at the beginning of our coffee spree, but we see a huge potential of coffee business in Czech Republic in general. The market is really fragmented, so we would like to take a substantial part of this market for sure. But at this moment, I don't want to comment on some growing indexes for the future for the coffee business, as we did not publish the forecast for next year yet.
Okay. And one more. The coffee business, do you plan to sell it only in Czech, Slovakia, or you expand across the countries?
At the moment, the business is running in Czech Republic and Slovakia, and of course, we are considering if this business model can be successful also in other countries like Slovenia or Croatia.
Okay, thank you.
We have an additional question from Mr. Petr Bartek. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. I would have a follow-up question to the leverage. You said that you expect to be closer to 4 times net debt EBITDA by the year end, which seems a bit high to me. If I take the dividend payout of below 300 million and some capexes of say 100 million above EBITDA, I would arrive at something 3.5 times or a little bit more. So you expect significantly negative working capital development in Q4. So a question related to that, how does it look like with the bank covenants, which are set at 3.5 times? So will you receive waivers again? Is it already pre-agreed or how does it look like?
Yeah, let's start from the end. We are now finishing the agreement with our financing banks. The waiver is pre-discussed and pre-agreed. In terms of the leverage, like the last quarter for us, still we will be like paying off the dividends. That's true. We will be paying some capexes which are still remaining. There are lease payments also remaining till the end of the year. What is important is that in the end of October, the government moratorium for the bank loans terminated. So basically in the last quarter, we are also like repaying our current loans, which is kind of pressure on the cash flow. So overall, we really expect that we will come to the level of approximately 4 at the moment, because
That assumes the low end of your guidance, like 950 million, right? Which you described as very cautious.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
We have an additional question from Mr. Jan Raška. Please go ahead.
So can you repeat your expectation on retail sales on December in Q4? What's your expectation on December sales in retail? Thank you.
Well, December sales in retail will increase with the fact that the HORECA consumption will be limited, but should be, let's say, comparable with the
ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please click on the raise hand icon on your participant panel. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. A recording of today's call will be available on our webpage. You may now disconnect.